Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. We've been preaching through this Gospel over the last 3 months, more or less. So we're up to chapter 23 and 24 today, where we find an account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I'd like to begin the scripture reading in chapter 23 and then verse 49. I started 49 just to ask attention for the women who were present at his crucifixion and at his burial. Luke 23, verse 49, "But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment." And now we find the Easter story, 24 verse 1. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Until that point, our scripture reading. Friends, it's Easter today, and we celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus our Lord. His being nailed to the cross had led to his death, but death couldn't keep him. After 3 days, he left the grave, for he is the living one and still alive today. That is what Easter is all about. To Jesus, Easter was like a second birth. This time, he received a life that he could not lose again. And it's our joy as Christians that we share this imperishable life with him. Easter is new life. Easter is eternal life, not only for Jesus, but for all who believe in him and in his resurrection. Now, all that may sound wonderful, eternal life for those who believe in Jesus and his resurrection, but this is exactly where we as humans do have an enormous problem. Easter faith means that we believe that Jesus was really dead and then stood up and was alive as if he had never been dead. That is something we struggle with to accept as a reality. We have an expression that says, as long there is life, there is hope. Meaning, as long as someone is breathing, things may improve so that life returns. But, and that's the other side of the coin, once death has arrived, that's the end of our hope. Then it's final, because there is no return from death. That is so much our life's experience that a resurrection from the dead is virtually unthinkable for us. It doesn't even enter into our mind as a possibility to consider. Now, as far as I can see, that is the problem God had to tackle that first Easter morning. The resurrection itself was no problem for the God of life. One word of God and Jesus was alive and walking. But to make people believe that he is alive indeed, that is quite a different kettle of fish. But that is what needs to be done in order that the gospel of the living Christ may be proclaimed to the world. People, mortal human beings, have to be brought to faith in the resurrection. And in the first place, his apostles, of course, because the church will be dependent on their eyewitness accounts. Now, if we compare the various Easter stories in the Bible, it's hard to tell what exactly happened, who went first, and who believed first, and things like that. We don't know. So it's hard to tell what exactly happened that early Sunday morning in Jerusalem. Lots of different people running around, and it seems just too much to take it all in. But one thing stands out in all the Easter stories. And let's begin with that. The people who were the first ones to see the risen Christ and to believe in his resurrection were women. I must say, I'm not quite sure why. Are women easier to convince? Is it the special love that these women had experienced from Jesus that had made them open for a bigger world than their own? Or did Luke want to point out that proclamation of the gospel is not man's business only? I do not know. But it's striking that Luke deliberately asks attention for the presence of women. It starts in verse 49 of chapter 23. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. And next thing, verse 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then, of course, the story that we read is the resurrection story. It's all about these women. But so one thing is clear here. I think that these women are put forward by Luke as witnesses. First, of his death. They saw what happened. Then, of his burial. They could vouch for it, that Jesus was really dead. They had seen it with their own eyes. All that had happened on that awful Friday. The next day, it was Saturday, the day of the Jewish Sabbath. They'd spend that day at home, since it was not allowed to work that day, not even on a dead body. But then, early Sunday morning, they go back to the cemetery. A whole bunch of women. Luke mentions three names: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. But he adds, there were others with him. Now let's join these women on their trip. What are they going to do? What's going on in their mind? What do they expect to find? A risen Lord? Fresh from the grave? Waiting to be welcomed back by his followers? Oh no, nothing of that. That's pretty clear from what they carry with them. They had prepared spices and perfumes. These women had followed Jesus during his travels and had served Jesus and his disciples in their daily needs, cooking and washing and mending clothes. For 3 years, they had served him. But today, they have come for their last service to Jesus. They want to embalm his body. Preserve his body with their spices as long as possible. Using expensive perfumes to keep the smell of decay under control. They don't understand what has happened. But in their love for their master, they want to render him this last act of love. For as far as they are concerned, death is final. Jesus may have been able to call people back from death, but now that he himself is dead, there's no one able to revive him. That's how they feel. And that's why they go to the cemetery this morning with sorrow and death on their mind. But now let's look at their Sunday morning trip from a different perspective, from God's perspective. And then we see, no matter the motives, but God wants these women to be there. For he wants to make them witnesses of the resurrection. God does it very carefully. If they are straight away confronted with the living Jesus, they might think they've gone crazy. They are seeing a ghost. For a resurrection from the dead is still unthinkable to them. So the Lord has to prepare them somewhat in order to enable him to believe the great news. So when they arrive at a cemetery, they are confronted with a mystery. The stone is already rolled away. The door is open. There must have been someone before them. And when they push on, they find another alarming fact. The grave is not only open, it's empty. There are strips of linen, but there is no body. And they look at each other in bewilderment. What does this mean? What can have happened? And they consider all the possibilities. They might be at the wrong grave. Or he might have been removed to another place. By friends. Or by enemies. Or by robbers, perhaps. What in the world is going on? They consider 100 options, except for one. That Jesus would have risen from the dead. That option doesn't enter into their mind at all. So God has to do more to make them see what has happened. And suddenly these women experience something like a flash of lightning. They are alone no longer. Here is an appearance from angels from heaven. Messengers from God. And struck with fear, they bend to the ground. If it would have been possible, they'd rather bury their heads in the ground. That's how scared they are. And who wouldn't? I know that angels exist. I know that there are angels, messengers of God, and they may come to support me, or to support people, or to come with welcome news. And yet, I would be scared to death if suddenly an angel visibly appeared in my study when I was preparing my sermon, and I thought about that. How would I feel? But apparently, there's nothing to fear for these ladies. They hear a friendly voice, and a question is put to them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's a challenging question. Why would you do that? There's also a friendly rebuke in it. Isn't it actually somewhat stupid to look for the living among the dead? They are saying, you're looking for the Lord Jesus, aren't you? But you are at the wrong place. This is a grave. A place for the dead. But that's not his situation any longer, for he is the living one. Do you know why he is not here? He has risen. He has shed his linen death cloth. There it is. But he has risen. That's why you don't find him in here. And I still can't comprehend it. It's too much to take it in. Now let's return for a moment to that question of the angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And as I said, the women are friendly rebuked here. But don't blame them, please. Mind you, a resurrection from the dead. Who could ever have thought of that? But think of this too. Do we too, not all too often, do the very same thing? Looking at the wrong places. Looking for life where there is only death. How easily we admire the people who make it in this world, the rich and famous, whether they make their fortune with sports or films or with a brilliant career. Deep down, we wish we had some of that luck. How happy we would be. That, friends, is looking for life among the dead. Among the dead, there is only death. And that glitter and glamour of worldly fame is just a thin veneer for death. Rather, be on the lookout in this world for the living, so that you may have life as it is meant to be. See, we all look way too much at what this world seems to have on offer. Remember what John writes in one of his letters. Friends, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world and its desires pass away. But a man who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John chapter 2. The world, John is saying, the world and what it has to offer is no more than death. Don't waste your time on it. Rather, seek the will of God for your life. Then you'll find life, even life eternal. Back to the women at the grave. They can't comprehend it still. The facts are clear enough. He is not here. But to understand that he has risen from the dead is still one step too far for them. They need one thing more. It's this. The facts that they see now have been predicted by Jesus himself. They'd heard it, but it hadn't clicked with him. Their mind had simply not been able to register it at a time when Jesus was saying it. So, therefore, they need an explicit reminder. Remember, they say, how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. Did it from then on believe it straight away? We don't know. I've taken them a little bit more thinking. I don't know. But they remembered, all right, what Jesus had said, word for word, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of evil men, and he must be crucified, but he must also rise on the third day. See, they had seen it all. On Thursday night, Jesus had been delivered into the hands of evil men. On Friday morning, he had been crucified. So what's next? His resurrection from the dead, of course. And yet, they had not come to that conclusion themselves. And again, don't say, how could they ever forget words like that and fail to believe them? For we do the very same. You may know what Easter means. It's the day of the resurrection of Jesus. You may know that it has been predicted by himself all along. How a whole Bible supports the idea of a crucified and risen Savior. And yet, in spite of knowing it, you may still not believe it somehow. The test for yourself, whether you really believe this, is your ability to stand up for the Lord, to fearlessly declare your faith in him, no matter what people may think of you. You have the facts. Heaps of witnesses have seen Jesus alive. And you know what the Bible says about the death and resurrection of the Savior. Now the question is, do you really believe it? Yes or no? Do you believe in him? Yes or no? Do you want to follow him? Whatever it takes, as he calls you. Yes or no? Friends, don't take any of these questions and answers for granted. For true faith is something that must be given to you by God himself. And you have to pray for your eyes to be opened for the truth of God's word. These women have seen the facts, and they have heard their interpretation from the mouth of the angels. And they run back to the apostles. They have to talk about what they had seen and heard. The grave is empty. Angels were there, and they told us that Jesus has risen. And they reminded us how he had said it himself. You must remember that too. We believe that he has risen indeed. But the excitement of the women runs dead into a wall of unbelief. The women's story seemed to them like nonsense. You girls are way too gullible. You're seeing ghosts. The apostles didn't believe anything of what they were saying. Can you relate to how these women must have felt? I can. When you are excited about the gospel and want to talk about it, what it has done for you, and how true the Bible really is, and then to find out that it doesn't do a thing for somebody else, they look at you in unbelief. They are perhaps too polite to say that. But to them, your words seem like nonsense. Frustrating, but very common. Well, that's the reception the women received from the apostles. Take note, from the man who were trained by Jesus himself to be sent out into the world to proclaim the good news of salvation. Now, we may find that disappointing from these men. But there's another side to it that I'd like to mention. In the book of Acts, written by the same Luke, the apostles appear as heroes of faith. And they would have received a fair bit of admiration from the first believers who came to faith under their ministry. Now think of this. If the Bible was made up by man, people would certainly have made the effort to cover the weaknesses of their leaders. Our text, for instance, finishes with the great apostle Peter, still wondering after all he had seen and heard what had happened. Even after he had seen himself, the empty grave and the folded away linen cloth. But let's not look at Peter. Let's look at God, who is at work here, also for us. And what we see then is that God manages to work out his plan in spite of unbelief of people. See, if someone would have, coming back to the point that I wanted to make, if someone would have wanted to make up a nice story about how great the apostles were, he would have placed the whole lot of them in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea to welcome the risen Savior out of his grave, singing an Easter song, "The Lord has risen today, hallelujah." But the reality is quite different. But now, and yet, looking at the confusion of all these people, the story becomes even more credible. We don't have here a tidy man-made story. Neither do we have to do with gullible people easy to convince of something. Instead, we find men and women like you and me who need all the power of God to make us believe what is so crucial to our faith and life. We do have a risen Savior, the one who is living today and who is keen to add people to his flock. I can proclaim the facts to you. I can pass on the Bible's interpretation of these facts. I try to live a life that's a testimony to the power of the resurrection. But I cannot make you believe it. I cannot give you the new life that comes with faith in the resurrection. For that is a privilege that God has kept for himself. He tells you to seek it, to ask for it, to be granted access into his kingdom. And you can only do that by calling on the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He is alive today. And he is around wherever you find a spot to speak to him in prayer. And if you do that with a humble heart, prepared to entrust your life to him, you will find a willing ear. And you will experience that Jesus' second birth on Easter will become your experience as well. You'll be raised with him into eternal life. For Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus was raised from the grave indeed. And now we pray that you would make all of us believe that fact, so that we do receive the life that he has gained for us by his resurrection. Lord, give us the faith through which we become part of Jesus, so that we become part of his death and resurrection, that we may experience the new life that you hand out together with your Holy Spirit, who lives and knows, truly follow the Lord Jesus with a humble heart. Lord, bless us in that and make that a living experience to us all. We pray in Jesus' name.